Well, the country's getting to know Paul Ryan, the vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket. His biography is getting lots of play. He likes to work out. He likes to bow hunt. He's Catholic. His mom appears in campaign events with him to talk about her experience with Medicare. It's easy to forget, however, that Paul Ryan isn't running for president. Mitt Romney's running for president. Nevertheless, Paul Ryan's role as the GOP's chief fiscal architect has been up until this point just as important as his national candidacy. It's controversial, and so much so that Mitt Romney, who is the candidate, has embraced the Ryan budget in the primary but is distancing himself from certain parts of it in the general election. That tells you a lot. And the book that gets a lot of credit for influencing the one Paul Ryan, chairman of the budget committee and fiscal architect of the modern GOP and his economic ideals, is George Gilder's Wealth and Poverty. Now, at the time when the book came out in 1981, it was regarded as the intellectual guide for Reaganomics and the Reagan White House in those 80s. And now, in the midst of a struggling economy and this presidential election, it's being re-released and updated for 2012. Joining us this morning in studio, sitting across from Noel and me right now, is George Gilder, author of Wealth and Poverty. Hello.
Good to be here.
Great to have you here. And it's a pleasure and an honor to have you here because you've got a smart publisher. Your book is timely once again, re-updated with new notes for 2012, even though this was the galactic guidebook for Reaganomics in the 80s. Why re-release it?
I like that. Galactic guidebook.
Well, a lot of conservatives view it that way. So why the re-release now? The economic situation now is so similar to what it was in 1980. That makes this re-release. What is our situation now as you see it?
It's similar but different. You know, in 1980s, we're coming out of the Carter administration, and we had virtually a balanced budget, all governmental balanced budget. We had a surplus of trade, but the whole private sector was in the red, and we had interest rates at 18% and double-digit unemployment. We had economic turmoil comparable to what we have today, but with a balanced budget. And this leads me to suppose that a balanced budget is a false totem. It just doesn't have anything to do with what really makes the economy go. And President Carter's policies were hostile to business. He made dreadful policy mistakes. Obama is making dreadful policy mistakes. But it's not merely the debt. It's the assets that matter. All of America's assets are being devalued by the policies followed by Obama. But that means that the solution is not as hard as most people believe. It's not trillions and trillions and trillions of debt that have to be disposed of. It's trillions of assets that have been devalued and that are being obstructed and being suppressed. Energy, small business, initial public offerings, stocks, all are being devalued by policy. You change the policy and the assets can revive. And that's what Reagan did. Reagan increased our debt by $1 trillion, but he increased our assets by $17 trillion.
A deficit hawk is going to throw their slipper at the radio, George Gilder, and say, here's another conservative economist that says deficits don't matter, and that what he's really trying to do, they're onto you, they're throwing their slippers. They say you want to run up the deficit. You want to starve, that you want to run up the deficit so high that it causes a fiscal crisis, and then there's no choice but to cut the entitlements that you guys all hate. Cut Medicare, cut Social Security. That's why debt doesn't matter. How do you respond to that? Because they're doing it out there right now.
Yeah. Well, debt doesn't matter as much. Debt matters if your liabilities are in the soup. Then debt matters. But the policies that Paul Ryan advocates and I advocate and that come from Wealth and Poverty are all designed to expand the economy. And when you expand the economy, government revenues always increase. This idea that somehow supply-side economics doesn't work is refuted by 50 tax cuts, 50 major tax cuts all around the world that have occurred since I wrote Wealth and Poverty. And countries from Estonia to Poland to China to, have all drastically cut their tax rates. And in every case, revenues have surged.
Now, there's a cost to that, of course, and I know you're ready for this question. Expand the economy under the vision of the Ryan budget means go down to two tax rates, 25% and 10%. That means many of the wealthy get a huge break. A lot of the middle class gets a break, too. That's true. But here's the problem with the Ryan budget as a lot of people see it. There's no way to get to balance budget, which he does try to do. You may say it doesn't matter, or at least to pare down the debt. Sure. Ryan says he's going to do it, but there's no way to do it without getting rid of so many of the tax breaks that a lot of middle class people need. Mortgage tax breaks, college tax breaks, earned income credit, child credit. Can this expanded economy be done by still giving the middle class a break? It can't be done, can it?
Of course.
It can?
I mean, this is all the kinds of static calculations that assume nothing
dynamic
changes.
Dynamic scorer, that's what you are.
Yeah, I am sure a dynamic scorer, because capitalism is intrinsically dynamic. As Schumpeter said, it is a system of change. It can never be static. And all these calculations are just totally false. There's nothing in what you say. There's nothing in the idea that cutting the tax rate, top rate to 25% will reduce payments by the rich. Every single instance we have of reducing the top rate has vastly expanded payments by the rich. Now, Obama, when he was asked by some ABC reporter, Gibson or somebody, why he wanted to cut the capital gains tax, since always whenever you cut the capital gains tax, capital gains increase and government revenues increase, he said, for fairness. And we can all be fair and poor if we want to be.
George Gilder, when you cracked the Ryan budget and read it and saw the two-tiered tax rate and saw the reduction in taxes and saw the paring back of domestic spending to a very, very low level of GDP, all of these things, and the intention of a reduction of debt and deficit in the out years.
This is all your static austerity that you're calculating.
But I expect
the economy to start expanding massively. Private sector assets increased by $60 trillion over the next 20 years. I mean, this was a vast expansion of the resources available to the American people and available to the government.
That's exactly what I wanted to know, because when you saw that budget, the Ryan budget, did you think Paul Ryan really gets what I was trying to say? This is exactly my prescription for the U.S. economy.
Yes. I say Paul Ryan gets it.
He does.
He started as a supply sider. He worked for Jack Kemp. He read Wealth and Poverty. And he understands it.
Okay. Now, here's the hard question. Here's the hard question. Paul Ryan's not running for president. Mitt Romney is. What's your take on that guy? Is he a Gilderian economist, the father of what's pejoratively called Romney Care in the state of Massachusetts?
Well, I started in Wealth and Poverty really originated while I was working for George Romney out in Lansing.
Mitt Romney's father, and, former governor of Michigan.
And then I went to, after writing Wealth and Poverty, one of the first people who called me was Bill Bain of Bain and Company. And Bill,
Mitt Romney's old boss.
Mitt Romney's boss. And Bain said, "You underestimate the impact of supply-side economics. You don't understand how powerful price-cutting is." And he explained the learning curve and how capitalist economies are information systems rather than incentive systems.
And none of those people is Mitt Romney. Does Mitt Romney get it?
Mitt Romney gets it. Mitt Romney's whole career was based on price cutting, telling how companies could expand their market share and expand their revenues by cutting prices. And as Bill Bain understands, taxes are just another price. And when you cut these prices, opportunities expand. And that's Romney understands that.
Life is funny, isn't it, George Gilder? You wrote a book in 1981 that was important to the Reagan White House, credited with Reaganomics, and 30 years ago now.
Wealth and
here,
poverty.
Here we are again.
Yep, here we are.
Did you ever think that here we would be again?
Yes.
You knew it all along.
I was a futurist.
Right. You knew it all along. And in your view, you saw the economies, even I assume the big spending economies of George W. Bush and especially Barack Obama. And that's how you knew we would get here.
Yep.
That's George Gilder. George Gilder's Wealth and Poverty is right here in front of me, written in 1981, updated for 2012, because there's reason to believe, at least, that George Gilder was significantly prescient. Well, Paul Ryan is an acolyte of George Gilder. Paul Ryan's running for vice president, and according to George Gilder, Mitt Romney gets it too. So read Wealth and Poverty. You'll know where those two gentlemen are at. Mr. Gilder, thank you.
Thank you.